is What's Happening on the Grapevine. My name is Brenda Mercer-Garvey, and my guest today is Ross Hamilton, who is with the Bloomfield Rec Committee. Welcome, Ross, for being in today.
Great. Thank you very much, Brenda, for having me in again this year.
So. Yeah, that's great. And again this year, because we are celebrating that this is Bloomfield's annual Soapbox Derby. A lot of people probably have heard about it, but I'm sure there's many people that haven't heard about it. Can you tell us a bit about the day?
So we do this every year in July. Unfortunately, it usually ends up being one of the hottest days of the year, but we race down Mill Street from the top, from the Main Street end, in Soapbox Derby cars that we supply, and the race happens starting at 9:30 in the morning, and we have ages 5 to 12. There are age categories, just to kind of keep it fair, and it's for kids age 5 to 12.
Yeah. Now, can they make their own soapbox? Like, you provide, but can they build one with their
absolutely. And we have had lots of people in the past who do bring their own derby cars. So we just tell people that we inspect them because we have some rules around checking the steering and brakes and so forth, just from a safety perspective.
Well, that's a good idea.
So we check all ours. We check all the ones that are brought. And then, as I say, there's lots of kids that don't have the opportunity
to build one.
Yeah. So we, as I say, we have a group of them, and this year we have a couple of great volunteers that built two brand new derby cars.
Oh, cool.
That people will get to try out, and a number of other ones that have been refurbished. So, so I think people that have been here before will see a big difference this year.
So people, they'll come out and watch. So they need to register how far ahead?
We don't pre-register. We register starting the morning of. So the event starts around 9:30 in the morning, and we start registration around 8:45 in the morning. So people come. We have desks set up near the post office building at the top of Mill Street.
Yeah.
And we'll have the slots. We'll have different registration lanes for kids, depending on their age groups.
Okay.
And then we also have a starting ramp.
Okay.
So each of the carts will go into the starting ramp, just to keep it all fair, so everybody's starting from exactly the same point.
Sounds
and then
like
we time.
Wow, so a real race.
And
how many people would, like, you probably started working on this a while ago, probably since last time, and is there a lot of people on your committee that work on this?
There aren't a ton of people. There's like about there's about 10 people that are involved right now in terms of volunteers. So we'll have some additional people that'll come out on the day of to help.
Yes.
One of the bigger things is actually getting the derby cars back up the hill from the finish line.
Because
we actually like spray paint out the route and the finish line and stuff at the end. So because to allow for like fair timing of everybody coming down the hill.
Now, do they have to pay to come?
No, it's there's no admission charge.
Wow.
And in fact, there are prizes for each of the age categories for fastest times. And there's also for everybody, like parents, kids, and observers, they're welcome to come. We have a free pizza lunch following the race, starting around noon in the Mill Pond Park.
Wow. So people can come out, cheer on your favorite car, your favorite little driver.
Yeah.
And no betting, probably. I wouldn't. Yeah, you know. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe some chocolate bars or something. You know.
Maybe.
On the side.
Yeah. People can maybe bet an ice cream cone or something like that, because we have our friends at Slickers right across the street, and we have like bollards and so forth lining the route.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we just want to make sure that everybody stays safe.
Yeah.
The kids stay safe, and also the people on the sidelines watching. We have lots of parents, obviously, lots of grandparents.
If somebody turns the wrong way.
Could
be crash up derby.
And we also have the volunteer fire guys are always there, so they're keeping an eye out, and they're available.
An amazing community event.
Yeah.
And it's been going on for 11, or how many years have you been doing this?
I don't know. It's because it long
like
predates
a long
me.
Time.
It, yeah,
yeah.
It's been going on for probably closer to like 25 or 30
yeah,
years.
I think I remember it from way back when.
Yeah, because we have people now that are bringing their kids that actually were in the races themselves when they were 5, 6, 7 years
Isn't
old.
Isn't that fabulous? Yeah. So you remind children to bring their helmets, closed-toe shoes, and long-sleeve shirts.
Yeah, so again, it's just
for safety,
just if they have a bit of a spill or anything.
Yeah.
And we recommend if they have it like a full helmet, so that means like a full face helmet,
okay,
rather than just like a bicycle helmet.
Okay.
We do have
a hockey helmet kind of thing.
Yeah,
okay.
Or a baseball helmet.
Okay.
We do have some helmets for kids that don't have access to one themselves. And we also recommend if they have or want to wear like elbow pads.
Yeah.
And they
any
have
protection.
Those available. Yeah.
It's sort of like if they're roller skating or they're skateboarding.
Exactly.
So any kind of equipment.
Yeah.
So the Soapbox Derby is Saturday, July 11th at Mill and Main Street. And we welcome everybody to come out, cheer on people. There's free pizza lunch after. And, you know, maybe it's a project that you still have time, you know, to build a soapbox if you want, but or you can come and borrow one of the ones from the committee. What a wonderful thing the Bloomfield Recreation Committee is. It's very good. It's wonderful. So ages 5 to 12. So if you have any questions, you can check or ask at ward2rec@gmail.com. So Bloomfield's annual Soapbox Derby. Thank you, Roz, for coming in.
Well, thank you, Brenda. We really appreciate the station's support and helping us promote the event every year.
We appreciate you. This is community. We're very, very blessed. So today I've been speaking with Ross Hamilton with the Bloomfield Recreation Committee. And my name is Brenda Mercer-Garvey. This has been What's Happening on the Grapevine, 99.3 County FM, the voice of the county.
Thanks to Brenda and Ross. Now it's time for our second segment, over to Dominique Jones.
Well, good afternoon. So today we're launching a new segment that I'm calling Vital Conversations, and that's where the County Foundation, that's myself representing the County Foundation, Dominique Jones, and a guest organization have a fireside chat about the context of data within their perspective. So today we are zoning in on the working age group population within Prince Edward County. Working age group within Prince Edward County is defined as ages between 15 and 64, and currently that's at 53.5%. When we compare this to Ontario at 67%, I can tell you that Prince Edward County has the lowest proportion of working age residents in our community. So without inbound migration, this age range will continue to decline as retirements increase and there are fewer younger workers to replace them. So here to chat with me today about this is Shannon Collins, the Executive Director of The ROC, the Recreation Outreach Center. Shannon is born and raised in Prince Edward County, has a psych degree from Brock University, and has worked in the field with youth in various social services capacities. Welcome to Vital Conversations, Shannon.
Hi, thank you so much.
Can you tell us a little bit more about The ROC and what you do?
Yes. So The ROC Youth Services, we are a youth center on Picton Main Street. We support well over 250 youth a year accessing our services. Everything at The ROC is through our five key pillars. So making sure youth have access to basic needs, mental well-being, academic support, leadership skills and social development, and justice system navigation. So at the core of everything we do is making sure youth's basic needs are met. So whether that's our free lunch program for youth accessing lunch Monday through Thursday throughout the school year, accessing programming, drop-in center after school, there's always a snack provided. We make sure our hygiene products are always stocked for youth, thanks to our amazing community members who donate those to us and the grants that we apply for to cover those. And all of our programming is free for youth to participate in. So there's never a cost associated.
I love that. That's so accessible for youth. And the reason why we wanted to start doing this segment is the County Foundation has lots of chats with organizations like The ROC like this every single day. So we wanted to, you know, peel back the curtain and allow everybody else to hear a little bit more about what do we talk about when we're discussing needs in the community? How can we shape donor contributions and grants to make sure that we are really impacting the residents here? So when we're thinking about the decline in working age population, especially without that inbound migration, this makes me really think about our youth. So hence why Shannon is here. So Shannon, how can we start to attract and retain a younger population? Can you tell me a little bit more about what you are seeing and hearing at The Rock when it comes to our youth?
Yes, definitely. I think one of the biggest things to share is youth want to be here. They love Prince Edward County. I was also a youth that grew up here, and I love Prince Edward County, and I'm so lucky to be able to be here now. And our youth want to be here. They love growing up here. They love going to the beach and getting to experience all the amazing things, how beautiful it is. But there's also a worry of, can I afford to live here? Can I actually see a future here by being able to afford that? Is there going to be enough employment for me to be able to remain here? Can I have a family here? Can I have a career here? And there's a lot of questions around what that might look like in their future.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's important for people to be able to see themselves in the community. And that might be more difficult for youth, because when we're looking at the affordability context and the employment context, mm-hmm. they just may not see it. So is there anything that we can do as a community to support them?
I think one of the biggest thing is reaching our youth when they're younger, not just when they're in grade 12. Or maybe in grade 11, let's reach them earlier and make sure that they know what other types of employment there is available. I think we have so many niche opportunities here that not everybody's aware of. I'm sure there's many that I'm not aware of. And it'd be lovely to be able to expose our youth at a much earlier age, whether it's grade 9 in their career and civics course, to really get them to start thinking about what a future here could look like. And on top of that, too, making sure our youth have access to those basic needs and affordable housing for youth and their families.
I love that. That piece that you said about employment is really interesting, because when you think about the job market, especially over the last decade, there are jobs that exist now that didn't exist 10 years ago.
Exactly.
That's amazing. And I see that we are running out of time here. So, Shannon, is there anything that you want to leave us with today? What are your parting words?
As cliche as this sounds, youth are our future. We need to, as a community, invest in youth programming, but not just monetary, but investing your time in youth. Just showing up for somebody could completely change that youth's trajectory.
I love that. Thank you so much. And thank you for listening to Vital Conversations. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
And thank you to Dominique and Shannon for that. That is a wrap on The Grapevine for today. A big thank you to everyone who contributed to the show. Tomorrow, on the Friday edition of the County Grapevine on Art Scene, Pamela Mayhew speaks with Tara Wilkinson of Andera Gallery about all sorts of topics from the new Vortex show. We'll also have the Prince Edward County Sports Hall of Fame spotlight, the always entertaining Pet Report from Dave Wheatley, and Raj Dhillon will be back with an episode of the film-centric show Screenplay, where she'll be speaking with Krista Van Slingerland. I'm Gage Broderick with my co-host Brenda Little, and you can tune into the show every weekday at noon or for the rebroadcast after the 6 p.m. News and Farm Report. We'll talk to you next week.